What up? What up? It's yet another episode, Whatever Face Podcast. Before I introduce my guests,
up with this list, something to Whatever Face Podcast.
Oh, but you at least gotta get the name right.
Is that not it?
Whatever Face is it? That what it's called?
No, that's what they said it was called. Okay, Whatever Face Podcast.
I have my good cousin, Patrick Ewan Face, Mr. My guy, Shannon Anderson. What is happening, good sir?
What's going on, man? Glad to finally make it to this. It's good to connect with you in this way, in your space, so I'm glad to be here.
I'm mad that I didn't ask you about this sooner. I was literally thinking the other day, I'm like, y'all should talk to shit. You know what? Let me just ask him. And it was.
Yeah, I'm down, man. I was like, it caught me off guard, but I'm like, yo, I have been talking to my wife about it before. I'm like, we should, because me and her always bicker. I'm like, we should start a podcast or something that maybe people would get a kick out of it. So we
never 100% did. Do it.
100% do it. Time, man. But it's cool to be on yours, though.
100% do it. It's the only reason why I'm saying 100% do it, because you're on the other side of the world and we're making this happen right now. And the fact that you don't restrict yourself to it, got to be a certain time left. Just hit the record button and see what you guys get and put it out. Yeah, don't just record it, but record it and put it out. When I did my pilot episode, I had no idea people were going to listen. I had no idea people were going to stay past the first episode. Yeah. I put it out and it was a... So I didn't become a storytelling person. Like, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I recorded it and I put it out as my accountability. I was like, you know what? Just put it out. See what happens. Here we are.
That's dope. Yeah, man. What episode? What number are you on?
208. This will be.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
You see what I'm saying? But yeah, if the thought is in your head, I'm going to harass you just to do it. I think you and your wife are comical, especially when you're playing off of each other, whether it be responding to each other. I say do it. I can't wait for it. So there's that.
That's what's up. I'm going to let her know. She's probably over here eavesdropping somewhere because she was just in here. But
if she's, tell us she's more than welcome to join us if she would like. This is going to be a lighthearted conversation. A lot of it, primarily, I want to get your takes, because you've been around the world.
Yeah.
And I looked at your Instagram and the places you've been, and all I heard in my head was Bad Boys been around the world and now yeah yeah. And I'm like, I gotta talk to my guy about just his traveling experiences. Air Force. That's where it starts. Air Force. Give the people a brief, you know, run through of where you're from, where you've been, and we'll get into deeper conversations as they go. But tell the people where you're from.
Man, so it's like, where to start? Military stuff, it makes it kind of hard because you've been so many places and then family and then where they come from. So, like, I feel like I can't start without saying at least the origin, a brief origin of my parents. Obviously, my dad, he came from Jamaica. Probably in his, like, high school years is when he came over to the States, went to New York, and then met mom, all this stuff. So my parents primarily...
He was out there being a sniper.
Yeah, man. So he came over here trying to blend in and found mom. So, but I think from that, I'm not sure why. So my dad joined the military. I'm not sure what his motivation was to do that, but that took us from the city and up north to being down south. So I was born in North Carolina in Jacksonville area, Camp Lake June. Anybody that's military will be familiar with that area or that base specifically. And then he went from there to Parris Island in South Carolina, where Marines are made, and that's where he got out. So that's where I was raised. And then we would come up to New York, visit y'all occasionally, holidays, unfortunately, a lot of times funerals, stuff like that. But he just stayed in that area. We never left. We just kind of migrated from one town down there to a different one. And then that's like where my high school years. But fast forward past all that stuff, going to adulthood, went to school, stayed in South Carolina for that too, but then joined the military. And that took me right up the road, man. I joined the military to see the world, like kind of what you were saying in the beginning. And they sent me about 4 or 5 hours up the road, man. I was upset. I was in North Carolina. I'm like, bro, I was born in North Carolina, raised in South Carolina, joined the military. All right, it's time to travel. And went back to North Carolina. I'm like, bro, this is nice. This is nice. I was ready. I'm like, bro, just ready to be overseas and just experience that. Like, just hearing about that kind of life from my dad and stuff like that, the things that he saw definitely motivated me to want to do and see the same. So, I mean, I think that's just the quick snippet.
What did you get the military bug from your pop, or was it literally, I want to travel the world and this is probably the easiest way to do it?
So, I mean, my reasons for joining, it was a mixed bag. Like, part of it was just to follow in his footsteps. Like, my dad is a positive role model in my life, and it's like, yo, he did it, I want to be like him, so I want to do it. Even to the point where I was telling him I was going to try to be a Marine too, and he was like, nah. He's like, nah, we're not doing that. He's like, if you feel the need to be in the military, we got to go Navy or Air Force. And I wasn't trying to be on boats for months, years at a time, however they do their thing. I was like, all right, Air Force it is. So then I started pursuing that route. So it was definitely highly motivated by him. But then at the same time, there was the yearning to travel. It's like, cool, I could check 2 boxes off. Like, I could see a lot of cool stuff and travel if I joined the military. Because what I did not share is, like, I finished school entirely before I even joined. So what I should have done is gone in as an officer. But my need and want to go ahead and do this, I felt like it was delayed by school. I was always motivated. Even in high school, I was kind of talking to recruiters and stuff, but then was motivated to go run track on a college level with scholarships and stuff like that. So between that and pressure from the mom not wanting me to do the military thing in the first place, I kind of put it on the back burner, you know? But once school was done, I just like, yo, what's the quickest way for me to go do this? And it was to join enlisted. So I went that route. But yeah, so it's definitely it was travel. It was motivation by my dad. I'm realizing now as I'm older, it was also for like job security. A lot of people, you know, finish school and then they struggle. Like, what am I going to do for work? Or they hop around from job to job.
Yep.
It was like, this is a guaranteed paycheck. Like, I'm going to have to show up to work or I'm going to jail. But also, if I continue to go to work, they're going to continue to give me my paycheck. So
yeah,
it was good. It was good stability also.
I want to get into your travel, because that's a lot of it for me. And what I feel like is interesting is that you've been to places. I would love to see what your passport looks like. And I'm just talking about in terms of stamps, because I don't think your Instagram does it justice. Like, and looking right now, you got Jamaica, you got Japan, you got what's some of these other places you've been to? You tell the people. Don't let me.
I gotta look back at it myself, man. Been so many places. It's kind of hard to keep track. Let me go see what I do have up there.
I don't even know what half these flags are, and I'm gonna let my ignorance show. Yeah, I don't know what half these flags are. I know you got
Japan. Yeah, Kuwait's up there. Got a different one up there. I probably shouldn't say the name of that one.
No problem. No problem.
Got Korea up there. I'm pretty sure that next one. Let me see. What is that one? Dang, I was putting them as I was going. I think that one might be Thailand. Obviously, Japan is up there. And then what was that most recent one right there? I'll probably have to look it up, but that's why I usually try to just do it when I go, because I haven't really been back to a lot of them for a second time. I'd have to look that one up, but then obviously right now I'm in Guam, so that's the last one that's on there.
So while you're traveling, I know you, not to say you picked up a hobby of photography. Is that something, while you were viewing these places, more from the travel aspect, you wanted to capture and keep, like, just not just on your phone, but like, oh, well, you know what? These would be dope if I took on an actual camera. Like, how did you make that? Because when people go on vacation, you can't get over, you know, living through somebody's vacation if they're not either going live, if they're posting pictures. So as you're traveling these places, just on a travel spectrum, where was your mindset in terms of seeing these places and being like, oh, dang, this is beautiful, or dang, this is dope? Like, was it, let me capture it so I can remember it later? Or, like, what was your, reasoning I want to go with behind it?
So, man, you see a lot of stuff online, like you're saying now, even, you know, you would see maybe on Google or in movies and stuff like that. And I guess for me to finally be in a space where I'm seeing these things, it was definitely more so like, wow, let me capture this so I can be like, I've actually been here and look back on it. Obviously, with technology and the way the world has been working these days, it's like everybody's sharing on all these different platforms. So then it does end up on there. But as you could tell, like, I do have a lot of stuff on there, and that's just probably because I don't remove a lot of things, but I don't really post too often. Like, every now and again, I'll throw something up, and it might be a cumulative of, like, different things that have just been going on through the months. But, man, definitely for a look back, because I definitely got way more photos than what I actually share on there. It's like, I just have them on a hard drive. Just one day, if maybe my kid's like, hey, Dad, what was life like? Like, these are the things that I was seeing. Like, these are, like, for me, I got a really good photographic memory. So if I could look back at something, I can probably give you pretty detailed what was going on in my life at that time just from, like, taking a glimpse of that picture. Like, so I can just relate it to my kids and stuff, like, what was going on in life. And I think that's a really cool thing. Like, with today's society, you know, you got phone cameras, and then obviously, like, professional cameras where you go out and buy a Canon whatever or a Sony A, you know, whatever. And it just makes the picture more crisp. But I think the desire to get the legit camera and do stuff like that comes from just my passion with art, man. So I do have a different page where, like, I'm designing decals mostly, but just designs, I guess. It's for people's businesses, for stickers for cars. I used to be in the car scene really tough, and I was tired of having to buy other people's product and it not coming in the way I wanted. So I learned how to do it myself. I think it's just my passion for art in general, where I kind of like so much different stuff. And then I wanted to learn how to do photography. And I was actually having somebody teach me what they could at my last assignment when I was in Japan. She has photos of my family. I'll shout her out on my IG all the time. Her name is Lauren Stevitt. If you're in Japan or ever go in that area, actually, she's about to leave. She's about to go to Germany now, so never mind. But she was telling me, you know, a lot. She didn't mind me looking over her shoulder. And for me, it was like, now that I have pictures of these places that I've been, I want to capture beautiful pictures of my family so they can have it type thing. So the more that I can learn, the better it'll look. And then they'll have something that they can keep whenever I kick the bucket, whenever that time may come. So it's just a matter of capturing memories for the most part, I feel like.
I wasn't kidding. If you do want to bring your wife in, because I do have some questions for her, but a lot of it, you mentioned your kids and traveling and the places you've been. My first question is, before they started traveling with you, did you find it difficult to be gone and come back and be gone and come back?
Yeah, most definitely that. So some of those places, the majority of those places actually that I have been, I went by myself. And it's just because of work. Obviously, work forces me to go places by myself where I have to leave them behind. But some of those locations they have been to with me, and or I'm willing or want to go back with them. So I'm actually kind of glad that some of the areas I've been to by myself, because then it makes me more comfortable. Like, I kind of seen what's going on, and then it makes me feel okay to bring them. But if you really do want me, I can go grab her. She's not in here in the room with me, so I'd have to dart off. So as long as you're cool with that, I can go see if she wants to sit in on this.
You do that. I'll.
All right. It's real quick, because the room's just right here.
Go right ahead and grab her. What's up, family?
How goes it? I was in bed.
I'm sure. I got the. So we were talking about you guys traveling and having your kids see the world, if not through pictures, actually being there themselves. And I want to ask you both. I'm not from a military family per se, in terms of not knowing what that looks like, but can you guys explain to me, as parents, are your kids excited when they're going to new places? Like, what does that look like, as parents, knowing that, okay, well, the job is why we travel, but we get to see these cool places? How do you guys, prepare the kids for traveling, either if it's relocation, vacation? How do you guys prepare them?
Go first.
We're pretty open with talking to the kids about just about everything. So, a lot of times we kind of debrief them about, like, where are we going, what to expect, how is it different from where we currently are.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, especially like coming from America to Japan, we were teaching them like the cultural, things to do that's appropriate, how to address people, things like hello, goodbye, stuff. But I mean, that they typically are excited to start somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, there's a setback because they're leaving friends behind, things that they're familiar with, like coming from North Carolina, we were there for like 6-7 years. It was a really hard transition. But once we got there and got in the swing of things to Japan, things were good. And then coming from Japan to back to Guam, or to the States, but Guam, That's been really difficult. I think we are entering a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
And because Japan is so safe and everyone's like quiet, polite, things like that. Whereas like Guam is like,
it's beat up in the States.
Yeah,
it's beat up in the States now.
So it's been a difficult transition coming back to Guam.
All right. I want to ask, and this is all me living vicariously through you guys as you travel and you post pictures. I get it. What you see on Instagram versus reality, like the 2 seconds before the shot is actually taken, are two different things, especially with kids.
A mile.
Especially with kids, you may be yelling in the middle of yelling, and it's like 1, 2, 3, cheese, then it's going right back to yelling.
Right here.
there's a photo that is funny you say that. There's a photo in there that we took in Japan, and like, it's with my youngest. It's me, and my youngest is right between my lap. And I think I posted both just to show the night and day difference that, like, her emotions flip so quick. Like, one, she's smiling, like, I did one thing she didn't like, and she was crying the very next moment. And I thought, like, put them both up there. It's still funny.
Yeah, Tina, I am encouraging you both to do your pod.
My God.
There's that. I'm letting you know. You're hearing it from the horse himself. I'm encouraging you guys to do that. I was sharing with Shannon, you guys, I laugh all the time at just your interactions back and forth. The one most recent that made me cry was, and you was like, "Mom, this ain't for you. Don't look," like, because it was like messages.
I know know she saw it. She had to. I didn't look back to see, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this. Hopefully she sees this and just keeps it moving like I asked, but.
No, I think you have to find the comedy in life. Like, even when you outside is literally overcast right now. It may look like, oh, it's terrible outside. You have to find the funny in whatever the moment is. Yeah. And I do appreciate that you guys constantly find the funny. And I feel like our sense of humor is kind of aligned. So majority of the stuff that you laugh at, I probably have the record for reactions on whatever Tina may post in her story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just because you have to, from my perspective, I'm in one place, you guys are traveling, so I'm basically traveling with you, just not getting the stamps on my passport. So
yeah. You should.
Yeah. You 100% right. The money part. Oh.
That
was
easy.
Never mind.
That's an excuse. But if I wanted to get out and see the world, like, there are millions of sites that have specials on when to travel and when's a good time to go. It's just literally planning the time and doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just lazy. There you got it. You got it out of me, okay? Fine. Had me call myself lazy. Fine.
Got it.
Well, since we on the subject, like, just know if ever we in a spot where you want to check it out, at least you ain't got to worry about lodging, man. Just putting it out there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I do appreciate that. I want to ask, how are the kids with food? When you go different places, yeah. So Put me on.
They have my taste palette, which is like, let's try everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Orders everything on the menu. I want one of all of it.
I have a habit of ordering just about the whole menu because I can't choose what I want to eat.
Right.
I mean, so I come from a Vietnamese family, and we're used to just, like, we're not used to going to a restaurant and ordering, like, our individual meals. We order for the family, and then we mm-hmm. eat off of that.
And just put it in the center.
Yeah. And so, me being who I am, I tend to order, like, two or three entrees, and then it's like, oh, you want to try it? You want to try it?
Even if still pulling off your plate.
Yeah.
Like, what did you eat? And it's like, we, the rest of us, well, at least me, obviously, I got the American mindset where it's like, hey, I'm ordering this thing. Let me get something that I know I might enjoy, and I'm going to
finish it myself.
Exactly. And it's
selfish.
And then, like, so the kids, I mean, they don't get to be around the Asian side of, you know, what they are all too much. So they're more Americanized as well. And so we all ordering for ourselves. But she over here with her chopsticks just reaching in the kitchen. Like, no, if you don't let that go. But, you know, she's teaching us, so we're learning, and we're not as aggressive about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, nowadays, our oldest, he's 14, he's like, Mom, you want to try this? And I'll hear her say no sometimes. It's like, dang, that's crazy. But, yeah, it's
different. What's the age range, 14?
9 and 2.
14, 9 and 2. Okay.
Yep.
Based them out.
Walk me through, if you can, I'm going to put you in each of your kids' shoes.
Oh, God.
Let's go 14 first. Moving from, okay, you've been debriefed. I want you to put your mind into 14-year-olds. You've been debriefed. We're getting ready to go. 14-year-old, you now have to have that conversation with Mom and Dad and go.
So I feel like
you're 14.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm trying to say, like, from his side, he knew, like, this isn't an option. Like, I have to go. So it's like, is the family coming with me, or y'all going home to South Carolina type thing? Like, I can't stay here. The job requires me to leave. So I feel like the 14-year-old, he's always been super mature.
Okay.
Talk to them on a more advanced level than you probably would hear a lot of parents speaking to their kids, but like, even since he was young, he just comprehended so much so quickly. I think just with him being so young and us also kind of being young adults at that time, we were only around other adults. So he was immersed in, like, just adult conversation and maturity and stuff like that. He wasn't really around a lot of kids at that time.
Until he was in kindergarten. Yeah. That was when he started being around more children.
So to let him know, like, hey, we're moving, at least the first time from Seymour, I don't think he really had an issue. But you said 14, so I was like, pretty much this most recent one. This most recent one, man,
oof,
I don't want to go. I got all these friends. I got, you know, my little crush over here, whatever. Like, I'm used to Japan. Like, I'm loving it. Like, he was there for 3 years, so.
Like, three from, of his older years.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like from 11 to 14. So, at this point, we're letting him roam more. He's got a phone. He's got a little money in his pocket. So, he's got more freedom. And I think that is what he didn't want to let go of. A part of, he was starting to build, like, deeper bonds. Like, these are for real,
like,
friends.
Like, his friends, not friends that his parents forced him to make.
Right. Like, hey, you go hang out with them. Now you go hang out with their kids. Like, these were the people he picked.
Gotcha.
So I think that was really tough. Actually, I don't think. I know for a fact it was really tough. It's still tough for him. To be here and go on now, because he had, this is the one where he gave up a lot. So he definitely wasn't the most excited for this move. But a lot of things outside of just the location changed for us, because we had a dog, which we had for years. And I encouraged the family, like, it's time for us to rehome her, because I want y'all to be able to experience traveling more. Like, because I have to. I do mine as part of work. But I want them to, I want us to be able to, like, hey, y'all want to make this trip and we have the funds for it, we just go. Instead of having to find a sitter for this or someone who can come watch the house and then come feed the dog. And then and it's just more expenses on top of trying to just have a good time. So
thank you for that. Rehome the dog. I am going to use that, because I've been trying to rehome my dog. I've been trying to rehome my dog. But, okay. So this last move, he kind of took this one the hardest, because I've actually developed these relationships. What's interesting, and I tell my son all the time, like, when, even when kids change schools, I'm like, that doesn't mean you can't still be their friend just because they're not in your school or you don't see them. Like, technology today has made it so that you can have, you can have these face-on-face interactions over the phone, like we're doing right now.
Exactly.
And not miss a beat, but, it, like, when I was growing up, writing letters was the thing.
Like, you don't go by a stamp. Come on.
I would encourage anybody with a kid that's maybe between 8 and 15, let them send out a letter. Stamp the envelope, address it, and let them send it out. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and in L.A., they were asking 18-year-olds to address a letter. And you'd be surprised, no one that they were asking knew how to do it. Like, they, the placement on where they were writing the address, this one kid literally wrote, he goes, I want you to write a letter to your grandma. He put, I'm going to see, the lady says, so where are you going to send it? He goes, I'm going to send it to grandma's house. And she, okay, so fill out the letter. He literally wrote on the letter, grandma's house, and said, not that's it, address. Right? Oh, not the address. No. Literally.
I mean, you're over here not remembering phone numbers. Like, how you don't think I'm going to remember your address?
I mean, you can pull it up. He still had this, they didn't say he couldn't use his phone. They just said, write a letter. So it's like,
write a letter. Write a letter. Where are you going to send it to? And he had no idea. What he was just like, grandma's house. He was like, that's grandma's, it, right?
House. Yeah, they'll know. They gotta know. Everybody knows grandma's house.
But all right, so 14, give me 9-year-old mindset. What's 9-year-old going through?
Mills was struck.
She is a very emotional person, very sensitive. And so I feel like when she moved from Japan to here, it wasn't so bad. I mean, once we got here, she realized that going outside and venturing off isn't as, like, you know, reachable as she would like. Yeah. And so I think slowly she learned, like, oh, wow, okay, I don't think I'll like this place. In Japan, you know, as maybe some of your viewers or whoever may know, is just safer, like I said. Like, you can see five-year-old kids walking themselves to school early in the morning, and you just know that the community will look after them if they, mm-hmm. you know, stray away or whatever. You just know your kids are going to come home in one piece, or go to wherever they need to go in one piece. Mm-hmm. And so Amelia, although she didn't get to stray as far as Sean did, she went to the park down the street, a couple of streets over, all that stuff. But coming to Guam, she soon realized that she could not do that, just because of all the craziness that's happening here and stuff. And so, anyway, once we went back and visited, we went back to Okinawa to visit for the spring break, and she, you know, saw what she was missing out on, and then she came back here. Immediately, she started crying. She said, I don't like it here. I want to go back to Okinawa.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you really feel for your kids when they realize things like that, like the stuff that they're missing out on that they used to have. And so,
Like,
so 9-year-old, not happy.
Not happy.
14-year-old, not happy.
But dealt with a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I was having a conversation with somebody recently, somebody older than me, who grew up in the projects, right? And in my brain, I always say, like, your mom, my dad, like, our family who grew up in the projects, I always felt like there was this thing in the projects where no phones, no nothing. You would yell from the window, hey, can Barbara come outside? Can Charles come outside? And as a unit, your friends would go out. You would have this massive place to run around and play. Right. But it was like you were secure because everybody knew who
Thomas Reese.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And there's an envy that I have of that, because not the whole project experience, but the ability to be like, oh, I'm going out with so-and-so, or somebody literally coming to my window and saying, hey, you coming outside today?
Yeah.
And not having any plans, just getting lost in the playgrounds. Of course, there were places you couldn't go, even in the projects, even though you were trusted with this. Hey, you can go to this building, but don't go over to this building. Like, there's just this community, I guess is the best word I can describe it with, where everybody knows who your family is and they're looking out for you. And it's just this freedom that kids have where you don't have to be like, all right, well, don't stray too. So I can only imagine being in another country and understanding, okay, well, as a 5-year-old, I can walk to school by myself.
Right.
So it's nuts, man. And it's like, even traffic, you don't got to worry about them walking on the street, because like they have this little system. Like if a little kid is walking across the street, they're so small, they'll raise their hand as they're walking by so they can at least see the hand, and then traffic will just yield to them. Like, let me allow this person to get to where they, this little old kid to get to where they're going. In the States, bro, it's all about me. I'm on my way. Like, you have just got, the kid would have got clipped.
Yeah. You could have seen my car.
Yeah, why didn't you stop? I had to go right ahead. And that's a funny thing, and it made the difference between at least Japan and just States, because Guam is like a U.S. territory anyway, so it's the States here anyway. But
cars are a privilege.
Yeah.
And that could be, I'm sure it could be taken away at some point if they really wanted to.
But either way, what I was getting at is like, just even behind the wheel, Japanese people will just be polite and just stop or yield, like, hey, you know, our lane's been going for a while. Let's get some of these people in here and just stop traffic, which is very dangerous, actually. But it just still goes to their politeness. And then when you compare that to the States, it's like people just driving reckless. So you could be in danger from that way. So this danger is danger, but it's still like the difference of why it's caused is kind of interesting in my opinion.
Right. As foodies, so as foodies, is there, okay, this is two-parted. as foodies, where have you gone that's had the best food? And then two, because kids always tell the truth, have you all been embarrassed by your kids saying, I do not like this, whatever it is, wherever it is?
You can handle the first part. I can handle the second part.
Foodies, like, oh, that's really hard, because, I mean, like, are you saying, like,
specific restaurant or places,
or, like...
If you had to, okay, if you had to rate, like, and I'm only going to use restaurants as the scale, so if you had to rate, like, between McDonald's and, like, any other mom and pop or restaurant, like, that you could eat at every day of the week if you had to, because the food always hits, whether it's breakfast, whether it's lunch, whether it's dinner, you know the food's always going to be good no matter what you order. Even if you're a repeat offender in terms of what you order, but everything you order has been a hit.
Okay.
So, actually, caveat to that real quick. Most of our responses, especially theirs or hers, is going to be from Japan, because a lot of the other flags that you've seen online is, like, places that I've either had to go, or from where I was, I just went, like, to a different location by myself, because they...
We didn't do the traveling.
They were in North Carolina while I was out in Korea, and then from Korea I went to Thailand. The last flag, when we were talking about it earlier, that was the Philippines. I just went there from here, but that was by myself as well. So a lot of our answers, or especially theirs, would be Japan. But honestly, even with the places that I have been, still my answer is Japan. But I'm gonna let you get it first.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, obviously, I don't know what the best, but that's really hard.
We can name names, but...
For me to be a foodie, I can't just pick one place. Like, you can't...
Hey. I got you. You're going like, a favorite like, kid like, route. Okay. I got you.
Japanese food, Mexican food.
Yeah, categorize it. Because like, we definitely had favorite spots.
Yeah, like to the point where people were recognizing us, too.
Yeah, I can answer that. And that's kind of my fault. Because I love breakfast food. Like, any time of the day, I can eat breakfast food. And okay. I definitely will not eat anything else. Like, if it's the morning, it has to be breakfast food for me. Like, she'll be like, oh, let's get something, like, some meat. I'm like, no. Like, bacon, okay, but I need French toast or pancakes or waffles. Yeah. So that was probably the places that we frequented the most. And again, to what she said, most of those places we were going, like, every Saturday, all right, hey, we going to this place. And if y'all want that place, then we can switch it up and go to this other breakfast place. But
that we usually go to.
Yeah, so it's like, it's funny. There's a place called Burger Bear, and the oddest name, it's called Burger Bear out in Okinawa, right? And they have breakfast food there. And
for the first year, we avoided it.
Yeah, I'm like, why would I go to Breakfast Bear first thing in the morning? But we went. Yeah. They had some slapping behind breakfast food, bro. I'm like, but we went there so much, we were there 3 years, man. And almost every Saturday, basically, if we wanted a quick one, we would just go there. To the point where we left. We've been here in Guam now for about a year. And we actually were just in Oki maybe a week or two ago and visiting a friend. And we went back to that same restaurant, the Burger Bear. And the worker was like, oh, where y'all been? Like, and like, bro, we don't even live here anymore. That's crazy that you recognize us. We've been gone for almost a year.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, make sure y'all come back by and visit me. I work on these days. Like, just already knew and was saying what's up as soon as we walked in to order. And it's like, bro, we haven't been here in ages. And she recognized that. So that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And the food was still good. So that's the most important part.
So all in all, basically the family's choice, if we're going to choose, is going to have to go with Shannon, just because he's... really picky with food.
Yeah.
So I'd rather appease him. And I mean, the kids love like pancakes and all that jazz too. So we would do like breakfast food. Burger Bear. There's like
Kona's
coffee.
Climax coffee.
Yeah.
What was that other one?
It's a lot of like, there's a lot of like cafes that are like, they sit like a maximum of 8 people. And those are really good places to go to. Yeah. Like, I mean, the spaces are small, so, Like, they only are able to fit in their kitchen, the register, and then a seating
table or two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's nothing huge, but we even have a rotation.
It's the best, though. Those are the best places.
Like, if you ever come visit Guam, there's certain places, like, we just got to take you to try it.
Yeah.
There's some good eating out here, too.
Yeah.
Listen, on my bucket list of things to do, I have visit Shannon wherever he is, and
we here for two more if you want to come to Guam. So I don't know where we head next, but I'll keep you posted.
Guam is nice; it's a good change of pace too. I'm sure from New York, especially
in New Jersey. Mm.
Jersey. Oh, okay, yeah.
But same, yeah. But different.
What about the kids now? That part where, because kids are honest.
Oh yeah. Not mad, so. She kind of, I'm going to say she has them trained. It sounds good, but she definitely does. Like, they don't eat whatever. I mean, obviously, we let them pick, but they're not picky. I'm the only one, well, I lie. My middle one has become more like me, but before, she was eating whatever, too. So it's really not an issue. A lot of times, they'll find something on any menu. But like I said, my middle one, who's nine, she is starting to be like, I only want this one thing. And it's like, I can't be mad at that because that's how I am. So I'll leave her be. But never to the point of embarrassment. They'll eat what they pick. They will eat a lot of times. Like I say, she has some training. When they were younger, it's like, you're going to eat what I put in front of you because like, you ain't old enough to read the menu or pick the menu. So and then they would eat it happily. There's never been a time where like, I don't want this. This is yucky. But I guess the funniest story I could tell you is, again, another Okinawa spot. You remember the name of that, the Indian place that we went? Like, curry?
The Nepal Spice Kitchen.
The Nepal Spice Kitchen, bro. I've never really even had Indian food, and this is in Japan. But they got a lot of curries and cheese naan and all this stuff, and it is really good. So I went there with a good friend of mine, not too long ago. He was with me and the family, so we all there. And this guy, he's goofy, man. And he ended up ordering this thing that just sounded absolutely disgusting. It was black
ink.
Yeah, squid. What was it? Did it have black in it? Black squid ink or something like that? Was the name of the curry?
Prawn squid ink.
Well, yeah, curry. If they didn't have the name of the color in there, when you got it, it was black. And I was like, I eat with my eyes first. So there ain't no way in hell I'm about to eat this. Yeah. And he was daring my son, like, hey, Sean, if you try it, I'll do whatever. Like, he always would, like, try to get him to do stuff by saying, hey, Sean, you try this, then I'll get you.
I'll
borrow
my bike.
Exactly, or I'll let you borrow my bike. Something like that. And so, Sean's like, man, I don't know. But I'm like, bro, if y'all gonna try it, I guess I can try it. Man, that thing ended up being better than the curry I had. I was like,
popping.
When we just recently went back to visit, I specifically went to that place and I specifically ordered that curry. And it's black. It's as black as your jacket.
It looks like tar.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way this can taste good. There's no way. But it did. It did. It was amazing.
He's the one that's embarrassing. That's like, yucky, this is
gross. Yeah, that'd be me. I was about to say, we're more alike than anything. Because I would be like, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Keep that away from me.
Yeah, here you go. Have some more.
Yeah. Enjoy it all you want. I'll live through you, but I'm good.
Exactly. Exactly that. It's funny, man, because that goes back to Sean when he was younger. That man used to look, well, he still does eat all his little veggies and all that.
No.
I'm the most unhealthy eater there is probably on this planet. I just have the blessing and curse of a fast metabolism, but... Man, there was a time I went to eat at her family's house, and they made pho, right? And it had...
No, it was a different type of soup, but it had mushrooms in it.
Mm-mm.
And so he was like, I'm not gonna eat that.
I don't like the way they look, man. They just look
good. So Sean was like, I'll eat it for you.
So here I am, scooping these mushrooms out of whatever it was I was eating.
And he had to have been like...
Loading it into my son's plate.
It was your military, so it was... He had to have been like...
He was
three
young,
or four,
yeah. He was super young. Like, here you go, eat up. These are good for you. I'm encouraging him to eat them, but I can't do it, player. You got to take one for the team.
Right quick, I want to ask you guys, and this is coming from a place of ignorance, so forgive me if it sounds stupid. Tina, don't laugh at me. I'm telling you in advance that it's coming
from
a pussy.
I'll probably don't laugh anyway. I'm sorry.
So while you're traveling, how do you keep up with what's happening, not so much globally, but like stuff that's happening, like even now with J. Cole, Drake, Kendrick, how do you guys keep up with just like current stuff that may seem like it's only happening? He's calling you out.
Because she finds out from me, guys. Talking about, she's a J. Cole fan. I've been to his concert. I ain't never been to a J. Cole concert. And then I get home. I mean, because just social media, man, just whatever other people are sharing on IG, mostly that's, I just kind of roam IG. I have other stuff, but I don't really use it. Like even Facebook, I'm not on Facebook. I use IG and it just goes over there. But just from like the stuff people are sharing and things like that, I think, especially I like music, again, with the art thing. So with that happening and then just the friends that I have with them sharing music stuff, it's like, oh crap, now I gotta go research. Let me hear this song. Let me hear this whole song. And then I'm sitting here telling her, regurgitating everything. I'm like, bro, you heard what happened with J. Cole? She's like, what? I was like, you ain't no fan. What are you talking about? You ain't even know what's going on. But then I spin her up. But mostly, it depends what it is. Like, if it's entertainment type stuff, that's kind of what I keep up. Not necessarily people dating lives and stuff like that, but like things like that, I definitely, I like hearing about and seeing what's going on. But then things in the world as we're traveling, I can't avoid it. I mean, it's kind of part of work. It's even with what I'm doing. A lot of times if we're headed somewhere, I have to, there's a series of things I have to do so they know where we're headed and that I know what's going on in said area before we get there. Like, there's a process where they need to know, like, what's the address? Like, here's what's going on in that place. Research this, have you done it? And then there's checks and balances for stuff like that before I can travel to certain locations with the family. So as far as, like, knowing what's going on in the area from a safety standpoint or just what's going on in the world, like, there's certain checks I got to do before we could go, yeah.
I'm going to ask real quick, your reactions when it happened. I'm just going to give you a couple events. You tell me your reaction and where you were.
Okay.
Okay.
Will Smith slapping Chris Rock.
We were in Japan.
Yeah.
I just shocked. I'll say shocked. You tell you what, quick shock for me. I was like, bro, what happened?
I was kind of embarrassed for Will, to be honest, because of all the stuff that was surfacing.
And that too, like, but I knew it was already messy because
Jada
doing whatever she was doing before that in the entanglement situation. Like, so I kind of felt like it was deeper than what we saw kind of going on. But anyways, shock for me, embarrassment for her.
For him.
Well, your response.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying. Oh. Tom Brady winning his 7th championship.
She's not
sports. I was probably asleep.
So, for me, I was just impressed that he's, you know, could go somewhere else, new team, and still pull it off. I was just thoroughly impressed. But she's not up on sports like that.
At all.
She'll sit around and watch the
halftime show.
The halftime show and the commercials. That's all she's there for. She's like, oh, you talking about the, and it'll be whoever performed. That's how the vibes will address the Super Bowl. It's like, for them, it's just
the Rihanna concert.
The vibes don't ever give a damn about what's going on. They just care about the halftime show.
Yeah, I heard the Super Bowl referred to as the Usher performance or
exactly
the game
that
Taylor Swift was at. So,
yep, exactly.
Cat Williams going.
We're here.
Yeah. Okay.
That was awesome.
Let's step up on the line. That was my line, bro. I was like, he gets so amped. Like, let's go. Let's put it on the line. Wait and see how that goes. Man, Cat was going in.
I'm pretty sure you watched it like 3 times.
I kept trying to get, because it's long. I still don't think I ever made it through the whole thing. But I definitely caught snippets, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to see this. I was laying in the bed. The family was all out here in the living room, and I'm sitting here just watching Shay Shay and Kat going at it. I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, man, it was hilarious. Entertained thoroughly. I'm like, man, I feel like there's a lot of
truth behind. Yeah, I was gonna say he's speaking a lot of truth.
There's a lot of truth behind what he's saying, but I mean, one way or the other, whether it is or not, it's his truth. So who am I to call it a lie?
Right. This guy's good. This guy's good. I don't know if you've been media trained, but you are good. You are good. Yeah. Let me, what else? So I got one more and then we can cut out of here. What was a really huge? Oh, LeBron passing Kareem. Where were you? Your reaction?
Here. Here. And I didn't care. I don't really. I mean, it's not that I don't like LeBron. Don't get me wrong. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
I am impressed at his longevity, but he's not my GOAT. So it's like, cool, you outlasting people. That's like, you're going to keep going. I think his goal is to play with his son, which he's technically at that point. So I'm not surprised that it happened. But nah, it's cool. Congrats to him. He's in the history books. I think he would have already been there without it. He definitely changed the game. He was kind of one of the staples of the young guys coming up and doing what he's done. Like, he's definitely, I'll give him. He is King James, but he's not my GOAT. So
I hear you. Listen,
he's not my GOAT either.
Who's you guys' GOATs? Who's you guys' GOATs?
Let's have this
conversation. I got to go with Kyrie. Bro, Kyrie is that dude, man. That guy is a wizard. He is a wizard. And especially the stuff he's doing now. Well, I'm not saying, like, I mean, I said he's my GOAT, but I'm talking about, like, current player that's playing right now. I took it to player that's playing right now. Not necessarily, like, the all-time greatest, you know, I should have, because that's what I said.
I just want you to know I love you. I just want you, I want to preface this with I love you. That's all. I want to preface this with I love you. Kyrie,
I answered the question wrong. I was thinking more current. But it has to be between Kobe and Michael Jordan. But
that's such an obvious answer.
But that is actual factual.
But it's so obvious that I even said Kobe.
But that's good. That means you're on the right track. So, but who is your current? Who is your current player? That's what. Who's your current player? Like, who do you think is, like, one of the greatest right now that's playing?
Do you want my bias to show, or do you want me to give you, like, an honest?
Yeah, it's your
opinion. Yeah, go with it.
Stephen Curry.
I was going to say that!
Yes. I can't refute that. I love Steph as well. But Kyrie got them handles, bro.
He does.
He can shoot. But Steph is that dude, bro. To put the ball up and turn around.
Yeah.
God dang. That's confidence.
So I love an athlete that has a little bit of cockiness to them.
Oh, yeah.
I was late to the Kobe train because I hated his guts when he first came into the league. Yeah. After the 81, I was like, this guy's pretty good, huh? And I started to see, like, oh, okay, yeah, I like that. T.O., like, I'm not a big T.O. guy, but the fact that it was like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, then do it. I love an athlete that knows him.
Yeah.
So Steph shooting and walking away is the most disrespectful thing on the planet. But
no rebound.
I love it.
Disrespectful, definitely.
I love it. I'm gonna let you guys. One last thing before I let you guys go. Let's look. Put our future glasses on. Let's say. Let's talk about retirement and what that looks like after the fact. You've done your time. You're like, okay, I'm going to ride off into the sunset. Where do you rest your hat? Is it back in Japan? Is it someplace else? Are you traveling the world now?
I would love to go back to Japan to retire, but I don't know how plausible that would be. But he don't. You don't.
I got multiple answers, unfortunately. Yeah. It's still up in the air for me. So
me, I do too.
Would I go back, if that was the question, would I go back to Japan? Yes, beyond a doubt I would. It's really peaceful over there. It can be quiet, they're reserved, they're respectful. I feel like there's more love for me there than there is in the States, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know how practical it would be. I do want to be around family. I feel like I've been away enough. I wouldn't want to unnecessarily do that more. So if the plan ends up where we're in the States, I have no idea what state we would be in. She be plotting. She got a whole little plot. I'm gonna let her share that. But I really don't know where I would be. But I'll tell you one thing, whatever I do next, it's gonna be mind numb. Like, I don't wanna have to think. I'm gonna be in a Foot Locker or a Nike store. Like, sir, what size do you need?
Yeah.
I just need a good discount somewhere. That's it. I just need a good discount. Because I hope to do this and make it to retirement. I'm halfway right now. So another half to go. And then, I don't plan on doing much. But if I do work, I will share that part. Our plan is, so she's a nail tech, and she's been pretty much doing her thug dizzle all her life. I would like to learn to properly cut hair. Like, I've done it in the past where I was cutting my own hair when it was lower, and I've cut Sean's when he was a kid when it really wouldn't matter if I messed up because he couldn't tell the difference anyway. So I would like to get my barber's license, and we would establish a business to where she's doing nails, and it'd just be a double end because mom's going to come get her nails done, but she can bring her son, and then I can cut his hair while he waits. So we would just tag team that and start a business. But
I don't appreciate your hair jokes. I mean...
Hey, man, I can line you. I got you, man. Once I learn what I got going on, I'll get you right. But otherwise, I'm not trying to think, man. I just want to be able to chill. I do enough thinking wearing this uniform.
I hear that.
I don't want to turn any more wrenches. I don't want to have to, like, solve equations of whatever. I just need something simple.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Well, so Japan would be simple, like, for me. Like, that'd be awesome. Shut up. Anyways, but if we have to go back to the States, there's a few families that, you know, we've gotten close to over the years. So I like to joke and say, like, I want to collect all my favorite peoples, all my favorite families, and buy a big plot of land with them and build our little houses, our little community, and then we just live in a little neighborhood and away from the world.
Yeah, Tiffany asked me if I would do that, and she was like, I don't think you would do that. I'm like, I would, like... That sounds dope. Your neighbors are people that you actually like and enjoy. That sounds dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, let's start a town.
Started naming it. Started saying what was going to be in it. What is happening?
We're going to have a little farm with a couple of goats, a couple of chickens, maybe a cow.
I ain't mad at it.
Yeah, so that would be really cool though.
I love that you both took the opportunity to jump on this pod with me.
Thanks for having us.
Man, please, anytime. Like I said, I'm mad I didn't think about doing this earlier. This is easy, especially in terms of just interacting with family outside of Messenger or a group chat. This is easy.
Most definitely.
Yeah, we can do this a lot more. Please.
Let me know.
I do ask everybody who's up here to give me a show or movie suggestion before we end. So I'm going to need a show or movie from both of you guys.
Well, I'll do my show first just because I gave them a shout out already anyway on IG, which you may have seen if you caught it before it disappeared. But Shogun on Hulu.
Shogun.
Okay. On Hulu. If you're into the old, like, style of samurai ways and the Japanese culture and stuff like that.
The Edo era.
Yeah, they use a bow and arrow and swords, but then getting introduced to cannons and muskets and all that. It has a really good story. It's really entertaining. So I'm gonna have to recommend that because that's the one I look forward to the most. Again, it's on Hulu. It's got 8 episodes total. I think that they're gonna release. There's 6 currently. That's out. So what's
me? Okay, so I only watched the first season. But I want to watch the second season. I think it's all out right now. But you haven't watched this. Mm. But it's called Kevin Can Go F Himself. Mm.
You can curse on here. It's fine.
Okay, yeah. Kevin Go Fuck Himself. So so I watched it on Amazon Prime, but I don't know where to find it after that because I think it was like temporarily like free for Amazon Prime members. But okay. Anyway, it's basically like it follows this couple, this woman and this man, and you know, it's like typical sitcom, like, oh, the guy's gonna do something silly, funny, and then everybody laughs in the background, and then the wife's like annoyed or whatever. But then that's the husband's perspective. But then whenever it switches to the wife's perspective, where the husband leaves the room or whomever, it becomes a drama. Like, you know, like the serious drama. Like it switches like the, like I guess the filming style. So it's pretty cool. And then it shows like how annoyed she is with life, how annoyed she is with her husband. He's never listening. She's stressed out, da 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 da. But then it'll switch back. When the husband comes back into the room, it'll switch back to sitcom.
Oh, no, you had me watch an episode of that.
Okay, yeah, it's really cool. I like the style of it, like how it switches back and forth. So it's really...
That is interesting.
Yeah, so...
I'm gonna watch that.
Huh?
I'm gonna watch that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Mine is... I'm kind of torn between... You know what? I'll go X-Men 97.
I've heard a lot of talks about that right now.
Wait, 97?
Yeah.
Wait, like the old cartoon in 97?
Well,
yeah.
It's a continuation of the original.
Yeah, so like it picks up right where the last episode of the original X-Men series ended, and it's all new episodes, but it's from that era. Same theme music and everything.
It's got the same art style more or less to it too, doesn't it? It's like that old 90-ish, but it's obviously a lot cleaner, but
we're gonna have to watch that. I didn't know that that's something that was out. That's tight.
They release them every week if you want to wait and catch them all at one time so you can binge them.
Is it on Disney?
I was about to ask, what is it on?
Yes, Disney.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
I had no idea. I saw that it was going on and people were talking about it, but I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't see it on Disney.
Oh,
No. It's you have to. If you like the old cartoon.
That's what we always do. We find something, and then we go all the way back to the beginning, like Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah.
All the way back to the beginning, watch it all the time.
And then we watch that newer one.
Oh, Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Bel-Air, yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been great. I appreciate you both. I love you both. Man, give my love to the family when they get up, if they aren't already up eating breakfast. Shannon, by all means, have a steak for breakfast, not just bacon.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate y'all. Like I said, this is not going to be far and few between, but I'm also probably going to reach out to you guys more to do these just to catch up. Don't got to necessarily be a pod, but this is easy.
For sure.
I don't know why I didn't think about doing this earlier, but I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. I'm probably going to do something with my evening, your morning.
Yeah.
But I tell everybody before I end, everybody get your excuses ready to call out of work. You get new excuses every year, so if you need a new excuse, you have plenty of them that you can use if you need to get out of work. That's all I got. Andersons, thank you very much. I can't wait to be a member of Andersonville.
And let's go. We'll let you know what state it is once we figure it out.
Yeah, let me know, and also do the pod. Until next time, guys. Ahala, love to you all, and peace out.
Peace out.